This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with politics and the fight for the U.S. Senate. Over the weekend, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren was on the campaign trail, not in deep blue Massachusetts, but in very Republican red Kentucky. She was campaigning for the Democrat there, State Attorney General Allison Grimes, who's challenging Mitch McConnell, the Senate's top Republican.
Warren criticized McConnell on several issues, including his vote against a bill that would have lowered student loan interest rates. She cast the race as a contest between corporations and ordinary Americans.
In other words, it's about billionaires or students. And I stand here with a woman today who said, in that choice, I'm going with the students.
The Kentucky Senate race is among the most closely watched in the country because it could determine the balance of power in the Senate. And the fact that Elizabeth Warren is campaigning there and elsewhere in the South says a lot about her rising star power in the Democratic Party.
And it raises the question, how does her brand of Northeastern liberal populism play in the South? To talk about that a bit is Ken Rudin. He's the former political editor at NPR and author of the Political Junkie blog. And Ken, good to have you on the program.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. Great to be here.
Also with us from Salisbury, North Carolina, is Michael Bitzer. He's a professor of politics at Catawba College. And Michael Bitzer, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And Ken, let me start with you. Is it surprising at all to you that Elizabeth Warren, liberal Massachusetts senator from former Harvard law professor, is stumping for votes in states like Kentucky?
Well, the way you describe it, yes, absolutely. But there is a star power to Elizabeth Warren. Now, we know it plays in blue states. We know that Senator Jeff Merkley in Oregon just had an event for her last week that was all the rage in Oregon. Not that Jeff Merkley's in trouble in Oregon, not that Al Franken in Minnesota is in trouble either, and yet Elizabeth Warren is campaigning there. The fact that she went to Kentucky, the fact that she's going in 2 weeks to West Virginia, where President Obama lost all 45 counties, lost to Mitt Romney by 27 points, that's fascinating. I mean, we know that Rand Paul, for example, will campaign at Howard University. He'll go to Berkeley and talk to students. We don't know if that works, but it's different when you're a liberal, as you say, liberal, Harvard.
Those things that would seem. Michael Bitzer, let's listen to a bit of what Warren said yesterday in Louisville. So, again, she's campaigning on behalf of Attorney General Allison Grimes, who's locked in a very close race with Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader. Here's what Warren said.
When you got a choice between billionaires and students, Mitch McConnell says it's more important to protect the billionaires. And that's what this race is all about. It's about a man who stood up and filibustered the student loan bill. Think about that. Mitch McConnell led the filibuster, and so we fell two votes short. Why do I tell you that story? I tell you that story because you send us Allison Grimes instead of Mitch McConnell, and you change the world.
So strong stuff there. Michael, I'm just curious, does that kind of red meat populist message, will it play well in the South from Elizabeth Warren?
I think potentially it could. It has to be differentiated between her liberalism on things like guns and particularly coal at play in Kentucky and West Virginia. But then there's economic populism. And I think that there is a branch of the Democratic Party that can certainly go after that with middle class Southerners who are still hurting from the economic recession and really haven't rebounded as much. That certainly plays into a kind of class warfare going on between the two parties. But I think one of the important things also is Democrats realize they need to get their coalition out that they typically have in presidential years, and it's going to be very tough in a midterm congressional year to do that. So anytime a chance for women's vote to play an important role, I think she's going to be a surrogate around the country, possibly here in North Carolina for somebody like Kay Hagan as well.
Sure. Ken, we heard Michael mention the coal issue, and I was reading that Crossroads, the GOP super PAC, was sort of the message from them was, you know, bring Elizabeth Warren on, and called her a war on coal enthusiast and the queen of class warfare. So I mean, her strengths can cut both ways down there, I would
Well,
think.
Yes, and Republicans say they're gleeful about the fact that Elizabeth Warren is campaigning in states like West Virginia and Kentucky. Look, there's always been a strain of economic populism in the South. Reuben Askew of Florida practiced it. George Wallace practiced it. So it's not unusual in the South. But what's fascinating to me is that both the conservatives and the liberals are talking about this. In the primary that knocked out Eric Cantor in Virginia, the House Majority Leader a few weeks ago in Virginia, his Tea Party opponent talked about the Wall Street versus Main Street split. And so both sides of the ideological spectrum are using this issue.
How close is this race? Do we know between Alison Grimes and Republican Senator Mitch McConnell right now? Ken, I'll ask you, do you have a read on that?
Yeah, well, it's very, very close. President Obama is very unpopular in Kentucky, but Mitch McConnell is not that lovable either. And there's a new Democratic-leaning PPP poll that came out a few days ago that had Alison Grimes up by 2 points. So it is very, very close. Look, Mitch McConnell knows he will do everything he can to win. And in the past, he's done that. Right now, the Republicans have long been painting Alison Grimes as a photocopy of President Obama. Now they're just going to morph her into Elizabeth Warren. Republicans insist they're thrilled about her coming down. Democrats say, yes, we are thrilled as well.
Well, Michael, I mean, Warren, of course, she's easy to characterize on one hand as this liberal Harvard professor in Northeast, but she's also from Oklahoma, from a fairly humble background. That seems like that image, that part of her character, seems like it would play well in the South.
I think so, certainly. I think she needs to certainly differentiate herself from the president and present that kind of humble background. I mean, Southerners do look at people that have brought themselves up by their bootstraps and can certainly relate to somebody who does come from humble beginnings and is working forward and is advocating the kind of policies that, you know, for college student loans and those kinds of things would certainly be an attractive capability and message to send and to hopefully mobilize and energize some particularly white Southerners who may be middle class, lower class, that have typically just tended to vote Republican. Hmm. Maybe that message is open to them now as well.
Interesting. Ken, Senator Warren says again and again that she's not running for president, but the fact that she's able to range so far from home continues to raise speculation that she could run, if not in 2016, maybe sometime in the future. But at the very least, doesn't this continue to raise her national political star in a big way within the Democratic Party?
Oh, there's no question. First of all, she was a national star with the among the Democrats even before she beat Scott Brown in Massachusetts in 2012. Of course, when she was nominated by President Obama to lead the Consumer Protection Bureau, and that failed because of blocked in the by the Republicans in the Senate. She was a big hero. But look, I take her as a word. She's not running for president. She'll be 67 years old in 2016 when Hillary Clinton is all but certain to be running. She'll be 71 in 2020 if my math is correct. But at the same time, what fascinates me is that when she talks about Wall Street versus Main Street, sure, that could be used against Mitch McConnell. Sure, it could be used against Shelley Moore Capito, the Republican in West Virginia. But in a sense, it could also be used against Hillary Clinton, who makes $250,000 per speech, who has been very, very friendly. She and Bill Clinton have been very, very close with Wall Street. You wonder if, even though she probably won't run, you wonder if Hillary Clinton is getting that message, too, that there is an economic populism out there that's not only directed at the Republicans, but also perhaps directed at Democrats, perhaps Hillary Clinton, who does play footsie with Wall Street more often than not.
Interesting. Michael Bitch, I'll come to you for sort of the final comment. What do you think about what Ken said in terms of that populist message? Cutting against the Republicans, certainly, but it's not like Hillary Clinton can come down to the South and claim a great populist mantle either.
I think that's very much true. And the way that I'm looking at it is almost an inside versus outside Washington. You know, you've got the insiders, the establishment, the folks like Hillary Clinton, the folks like Mitch McConnell in both parties. But then you have people like Elizabeth Warren, Rand Paul, who's certainly trying to portray himself continuously as an outside of the D.C. Beltline, the Eric Cantor's opponent who beat him on that same issue. I think within both parties, this issue of economic populism is going to be strong and is potentially going to shape how 2016 plays out. I think 2014 is just going to be a surrogate run for these kinds of themes that we'll see in the next presidential campaign cycle.
Well, very interesting. And of course, it'll heat up in the weeks and months ahead of this summer. Michael Bitzer is a professor of politics at Catawba College in Salisbury, North Carolina. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Ken Rudin is the author of the blog, The Political Junkie. As always, Ken, great to have you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Anthony.